Anyone ever get caught on, don't you need to put up your hand, but you know those stories where, you know, something goes onto the news and it's like the most moral outrage thing and you get caught clicking and getting all upset about it? And whenever I was online and somehow I got caught into one of these stories by Buffy the Vampire Slayer. Do you know Buffy the Vampire Slayer? So this is, American Thanksgiving was this week or was it last week? I can't remember. This week. And so Buffy decided to, in order to make sure that she consumes an appropriate amount of food for Thanksgiving, she posted pictures all over her house of her at her most fit. So a couple years ago, I'm not sure how long ago, she actually posed in lingerie for Maxim magazine. So now, if I invited any one of you today to pose in your underwear for Maxim magazine, would you or would you not want to get in the best shape of your life? Or whatever that looks like to you, right? So here's a time in her life where she is like, she worked her butt off, you know, probably dieted heavy, was in the gym every day. She's got good genetics, I'm sure. And she got in this amazing shape. She got these amazing pictures. She put them all over her wall in her house to say, okay, look, if you want to look like that, you can't eat everything on the table for Thanksgiving. And then she made a mistake. She posted that to Instagram. And the world, you know, went nuts. How dare she do this? The moral outrage was just, you know, she's fat shaming, she's encouraging, she believes that everyone should have an eating disorder. Like, the stuff that's coming out is just all over the place. In her mind, she's like, I'm trying to motivate myself to stay healthy. But people were reacting to this saying, wait, no, this doesn't feel good to me. And on the one hand, I think there's something healthy in the reactions, right? What we do impacts each other. This world isn't just like, I can do whatever I want and it doesn't matter to anyone. Our lives are more entwined than that. And that's what I want to talk about today. The second piece of it, there's probably a bit of victim mentality there, right? Jeff talked a bit about that last week. And the third thing of this moral outrage is there's computer algorithms that are trying to get our attention so they can sell our attention to advertisers, right? And a lot of these moral outrage stories get caught into that algorithm and they just kind of keep coming around and around and around to get us stirred up. But today I want to talk about that piece around how we're connected. Because I'm guessing each one of us have had people in our lives that have kind of made us feel like crap. There's people who, Sarah Michelle Gellar. Is that her name, Sarah Michelle Gellar? Thank you. Buffy. There's people who, you know, Buffy makes them feel like crap about themselves. So my question is for you, is have you had people in your lives that somehow make you shrink a little bit? Or make you feel like, just not good enough, or, you know, who I am just isn't right. Have you had those people in your life? You've probably also had positive people in your life though too, right? People who believed in you, people who saw the best in you, people who championed you. People who said, no, you can do this, we got your back. So our ability to influence people probably has some span to it, right? We can be really negative. We can be really positive. I remember years ago, when I was a wee lad, I was just going to engineering school, and, you know, some guy's like, hey, I think you'd make a great pastor. And I probably blew milk up my nose. I laughed so hard, right? I was like, what are you thinking? Are you on crack, buddy? Like, I'm going to engineering. Joke's on me. But, you know, he believed in me. He said, I see something in you that you could do this. It wasn't even on my radar. So we have people in our lives that believe in us. In the best case scenario, that's our family, our parents, our loved ones. So the question I want to explore today is, how have you influenced the people around you? Have you been a positive influence? Negative influence? That's what I want to talk about today. The impact that we have on the world around us, for good or for bad. And we'll go in a bit of a different direction than we've often done today. Because I think Jesus has a lot to say about it. In fact, the text that I was given this week, or I guess I assigned myself this week, was this one. Don't store up treasures here on earth where the moths eat them and rust destroys them, and where thieves break in and steal. Store your treasures in heaven where moths and rust cannot destroy and thieves do not break in and steal. What the heck does that even mean? Like, really? At first reading, I thought it was about money. Like, money's bad, we should all give our money away. And then I realized, no, it's not about money. Then I went back to my tradition. My tradition has this idea that this is going to sound a little bit weird, so just bear with me. In the tradition I grew up in, which was a Christian tradition, there's this idea that there's this afterlife, and in the afterlife you get a crown, and in your crown you have jewels that represent how good you were on earth. Anyone? I'm seeing a few heads nodding going, oh yeah, I know about the crown. So if you're like a complete jerk to everyone, you have no jewels and everyone laughs at you in heaven, right? No jewels, haha. I have a friend who always says to me, hey, I need some jewels in my crown. What do you got for me? So there's some, I don't know how it works, but in my tradition there was like, you know, envy in heaven and you like, you're still playing this game, but it all happened on, I don't know. And then I thought, you know, store your treasures in heaven. Maybe they're talking about jewels and crowns, right? But then I realized, okay, that's kind of all made up. So maybe that's not it. So I looked through the Bible and I saw an author who was written quite a bit earlier than the author who wrote this. His name is Paul. He wrote this. When someone gives their money to the poor, they will be storing up their treasures as a good foundation for the future so that they may experience true life. Wait a second. Isn't that your school? Foundation for the future? Sorry, that was a complete aside. I always thought that was a cult. But it's right from the Bible. Here it is right there. Sorry, I shouldn't call you out in the middle of... But look at that idea. Storing up treasures as a good foundation for the future. That captured me this week. This idea that what I do now gets stored into the future. The future of life. A couple of years ago, this is probably longer than that, I have no clue. My brain doesn't timestamp things, so it was the other day, but probably maybe 5-10 years ago, I get a call from my dad. Hey dad, how's it going? Not great. Oh, what happened? My dad died. I was like, oh, I'm sorry, dad. You want me to come to the funeral? Not a great way to react to your grandpa dying, right? Here's what you don't know. My grandpa was a horrible man. Horrible man. He physically and mentally abused his kids his entire life. If there was a way he could manipulate them, if he could pit them against each other, if he could pit them against everyone else, he would do it. It was so bad that, because we grew up with it, it just made sense to us, but if I brought a girlfriend home to visit my extended family, before they went anywhere near my grandfather, we'd sit them down and say, you can't be in the same room with him, you can't be within touching distance of him, you can't even be around him. For lack of a better term, he was an a-hole. Like, he was a horrible man. And so when my dad called and said he died, my first reaction is, oh, thank goodness. And then my second reaction is, oh, how you feeling, dad? He's like, he was my dad. But you see, my grandfather's influence spread out from him. My dad swore he would never be that way. He swore it, and he wasn't. My dad was incredibly loving. But that doesn't mean he wasn't incredibly wounded by his dad. And that wounding came through. And that wounding went into me, into the people I touch. Each one of us trying to figure it out and trying to heal it, but still coming through us and into the world. The Bible talks about the sins of the father will be passed down to 7 generations. I don't know if this is what they're talking about, but it makes a lot of sense, doesn't it? The actions of my grandfather influenced my dad, influenced me, influenced everyone I touch. When we talk about storing up our treasures in heaven, I wonder if that's what we're talking about. That our behavior today is almost stored in the collective human consciousness of the future. The things we do today isn't just impacting us, it's stored into people that come after us. And we felt this, right? You guys can joke all you want about Mennonites. I'll laugh. I'm a Mennonite or Mennonite-ish, right? I'll laugh about them because they're probably mostly true, right? But can you joke about the Jews? With all that's happened in history to the Jews, that's imprinted in our culture. It's imprinted in humanity. It doesn't feel right to make jokes at their expense. The black community and slavery. These are events that happen that still color our lives. You read about the Twin Towers or this Thousand Oaks shooting, is that what it's called? Like horrible, horrible stories. And we're all touched by that. It's stored in us in a sense. It's stored in all of the future. We all, that will never go away. We always have to deal with that. But you know what? I think it goes even closer to home than that. Because the Jesus story isn't about these big events. He's talking to us, like individuals, or he was talking to who he was talking to, but in my case, I want it to be about me. My actions are stored in humanity going forward. What I do, what we do, what you do, it gets stored in the future of humanity. What a sobering thought, isn't it? And I don't say this to shame. We don't do shame here, we don't do guilt. That's not how we roll. I do this for motivation. Because if we look at our actions as bigger than just, oh, this is just something that'll go away. When you think of what is something that will stick around for years, tens of years, hundreds of years maybe, suddenly our actions mean something bigger, don't they? I have some teacher friends. They tell me whenever they're stuck in a class that they need something for, they go on Pinterest. So I went on Pinterest this week to give you guys a visual aid for this. Didn't really know how Pinterest worked. But now I do. Use Googler, right? You know, I thought about it this way, because I was thinking about how does this work? This whole idea of, you know, human conscious or the collective human experience, and then our actions, and then how we feel about them. And it's kind of like this. This thing I wanted to represent humanity, the future of humanity. And I have just a little bit of food coloring. As you watch it, these are our actions. They drop in and they spread and they move. But the amazing thing is they dissipate, right? When I first dropped it in, it was the darkest blue. And now over time it starts to spread. And if we let it go long enough, after a while you won't even be able to see the color anymore. And that's how we feel often about our actions, isn't it? Oh, this is just this moment. It doesn't mean anything. It will just drop into the collective human consciousness and it'll just be absorbed. But the reality is, we do this too often. We color it, don't we? And suddenly the world around us, the world, our future, the future that we live in, the future our kids live in, are colored by all the stuff we put in there. We didn't think it mattered, right? There's so much space. It has so much capacity to hold so much pain and suffering that almost my actions feel like, oh, it doesn't really matter. But yet you do this long enough, And suddenly we wake up to a world that's dark and full of pain and suffering. We talk about making earth like heaven, which is our way of saying just making the world better. And suddenly we wake up to a world that says, no, it's dark. How did we get here? It seems that every little action we put into the future is how we got here. So today I want us to wrestle deeply with this part of our lives, with what we're putting into the world. And to do it, I want to take it in a bit of a different direction. Because part of what takes us there, some of it's physical, there's a million different ways, but there's one way that we don't often talk about. And today I want to talk about it by way of a story. I was at the Talisman Center, it's now Repsol Center. Does anyone know the gym? It's got the weirdest drive thing. So to come out of there, you go onto McLeod Trail, and you can only go south, right? There's that free flow lane, and then you can cut into south. But there are four lanes across, there's a U-turn lane. And if you can cut, like, it's probably from about here to the back corner of the space here. If you can cut across four lanes of traffic, you can hit the U-turn lane and get going north. So years and years of video games have trained people to thread that kind of a needle to kind of, you know, their cars through that to get that U-turn. So here I am after a good workout, thinking the world's beautiful, right? It's all lovely and clear and everything's grand. When the lady in front of me, instead of coming off and going onto that free flow lane and heading south on McLeod Trail, what do you think she does? Now, I know what you guys are all thinking. You're thinking she probably has a medical appointment that she needs to be to, and this is a life-saving maneuver, and, you know, she has to be doing this, right? That's what you're thinking, aren't you? You're not like me, where it's just like, you've got to be kidding me, lady. And then instead of letting it go like I should, what do you think I do? Not like a 10-second, like, you know, like I'm freaking out. But like a good, solid, I don't like what you're doing. I think you're an idiot. You shouldn't be doing this. This is probably illegal. And of course, you're all thinking that honk is going to solve the problem, right? It's going to go awesome from that point forward. Of course not. What does she do? She flips me the bird. So what do? I flip her the bird back. Now we're yelling at each other through rearview mirrors, right? We're all backed up behind her. I'm screaming and yelling. She's screaming and yelling. Finally, there's a break in traffic. She blares across the thing, you know, swearing and yelling at me the whole way. She gets to the U-turn lane. She actually makes it. She doesn't die, which I thought was pretty impressive. I was pretty annoyed at having to wait as long as we did. But here's the thing. As she was leaving, I saw her driving away, and something shifted in me, and I went, there's a lot of pain that's spilling off her right now. It was almost like I could see her driving home, and this is what was going on. It was just spilling out of her. But who started that? That was all me. My little blip in the world. My little moment of frustration of, I can't wait 5 seconds to get home because something's going to happen if I, you know, have to wait that long. I triggered her. Now her stuff is just spilling out as she goes all the way home. It's just pouring out of her. And I suddenly had this image of this going on in real life. Going, you know what, my crap is making this world worse. You ever been one of those moments where you suddenly realize, oh, I caused a whole bunch of hurt, didn't I? But you know what? It's interesting. That was just my emotions, right? My frustration. What was going on inside of me? What I realized in that moment is, our emotions are doing that. Our pain, our anger, our frustration, our trauma, our sadness, all the stuff that's going on inside of us that we're not willing to deal with, that we're really rather going, no, 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 I'm just going to ignore it and pretend everything's fine and just go through my world. And if someone honks or someone stops at a light that I don't like, I'm going to lose it on them, right? But somehow we think that what's going on inside of us doesn't impact the world around us, right? Somehow we think that our crap inside is just our crap inside. It doesn't do this, right? No one can tell. So now I need to tell you about the newest therapy I tried. You know, I'm kind of game for everything. It was horse therapy. What do you picture when you think horse therapy? I pictured a horse sitting on a chair, you know, with glasses and a notebook, and me on the couch and being like, so tell me about your childhood, right? You know? When my counselor said I'm trained in horse therapy, my first thought was, are you an idiot? Like, but really what it was therapy with a horse in the room. And what you don't know about horses is horses, big, dumb, can't talk, but they picked up everything that was going on inside of me during that session. It was insane. When I was upset, the horse was upset. I didn't even need to say anything. The horse would be like pacing around and like, when I was frustrated, the horse was like biting at things and like doing all sorts of weird stuff. When I was calm, the horse was just totally chill. And so it was like I could watch my inner life play out on a horse right next to me. It wasn't pretty, guys. But you know what it taught me? What's going on inside of me isn't just inside of me. It spills. My frustration, it spills. Our anger, it spills. And even when I'm not talking, the horse can't speak. It doesn't understand English. At least as far as I know, horses don't understand English, do they? Don't think so. It's not like a dog. Dogs understand English, you know. Fido, go get your bone, right? That kind of thing. So here's this big dumb animal that's picking up everything that's going on inside of me without me needing to say anything. There's this idea in science and in psychology that says we have a limbic system, which is where our emotions come from. But here's the fascinating thing about your limbic system and why I need to tell you about this to get back to where we started. Your limbic system is an open system. It means that mine's connected to yours, and yours is connected to yours, and yours is connected to yours, and yours is connected to yours. It's like the force. That's what I think about it. We're all connected. It means that when I'm feeling something, your nervous system picks it up, just like that horse's did. And so how we work on our inner life is coloring, or maybe the lack of work we do on our inner life is doing this all day long, and we don't even realize we're doing it. But the limbic systems of people all around us are feeling the crap that's coming out of us. Now, I have to be honest. I talked to you guys about the Sabbath a while ago and kind of my work on the Sabbath, which means I need to take one evening off and just watch a movie and chill and not do anything important. But the last little while, I haven't been doing that. Just busy or traveling or... And suddenly I realize... I'm sitting behind a lady at Repsol Center, and the fact that she's not doing what I want, I'm losing it on her. And suddenly I'm seeing my inner work, or lack thereof, coloring hers and the world around us. So the question I want to explore for the end of today is, what's spilling outside of you guys? You already know I'm frustrated and annoyed and not doing well right now. I need to get back to being healthy. What's spilling out of you? Is it peace, love, contentment? Or is it the other side? Frustration, anger, shame? Is it pain, trauma? What are you putting into the world, the future of the world? Again, I say this not for shame. I say this for motivation, because when we watch what happens, we can make a change. We can change from the pain that we're putting into the world to love and to peace. So if right now you're thinking to yourself, oh, geez, I'm not doing great on this one. What's spilling out of me is not pretty. What are you going to do? Jesus' line says, don't store up your treasures here. Here is the short game. The game that says, you know, it's all about me. It's all about what feels good. I don't want to deal with my pain. That's too painful. I don't want to deal with my shit. It's too painful. I don't want to deal with that. I'm going to pretend it's not there. Pretend that it's not spilling out of me to everyone I touch, everyone around me. So if you're toxic, if this is you right now, you have a choice. Are you going to do something with it? For me, I need to do Sabbath. Every time I get away from that, I become a horrible person. Every little thing sets me off. I can just tell I'm just mad all the time. So maybe there's something you need to do to stay healthy, to do some self-care. I was reading a book recently about how our hormones impact how we recharge. If you're primarily testosterone-driven, you recharge a different way than if you use oxytocin or estrogen. Do you know how to stay healthy that way? Do you know how to do self-care? Do you know how to recharge yourself? Are you open to going to see somebody? You know, this current generation, we're much more open to seeing counselors and professionals. But you're still in that thing that says, my stuff's my stuff. I don't talk to anyone about it. Just pretend that that doesn't exist. Is there a physical practice you need to do? There's a men's group that we do every 6 months. Me and the men get together, and a lot of what we do is try and heal ourselves with using the least number of words possible. A lot of it's just breathing to find calm, to find capacity, to find peace, and letting that share into the world. Maybe it's for you, it's yoga or sitting in meditation. For a lot of people, physical practice is moving our bodies, doing something with our bodies that helps us process through this stuff. What are you doing? Maybe you need to talk to a friend. I don't know. But I think Jesus' challenge this week is this. When we store up treasures on earth, that, I think, is his metaphor for saying, do whatever feels good for you and don't pretend that you have no impact on anyone else. Pretend the stuff that's going inside of you doesn't impact anyone. It doesn't impact your kids, your partner, your friends, your colleagues. Storing up treasures in heaven, I think what he's getting at is saying, watch what you put into the world. Just as a side note, Pinterest totally failed me on figuring out how to reverse this experiment. Wouldn't it have been an awesome one if I could have made it go back to clear again? It's totally what I wanted to do. Yeah, I couldn't figure it out. Because we can do it the other way too, right? When we put in love and joy and peace and kindness, that gets stored in the world too. You can feel it. You go into an office where a bunch of people are putting beautiful things into the office space. You just come in and you're like, oh, this place is amazing. I just want to hang out. Like, who gets to work here? And where it's toxic like this, you walk in and you're like, ugh. I don't even want to be around these people. You can feel that at home, if your home life's like this, if your friend group. I think Jesus' line, store up treasures in heaven, do the work to put beautiful things into the future, loving things, kind things. Do the work. I talked to a friend of mine a couple weeks ago. She's single and has been struggling to date. Just, you know, can't find, she's online, nothing's working. She prefers to meet people in person, but it's just not working. And through kind of a weird series of circumstances, we were chatting, and all of a sudden she opened up about a horrible trauma that she'd had earlier in her life, just after she was married. It was traumatic. And she never dealt with it. That was like 15 years ago. She lost her marriage, her community. And I don't know how it came up, but I started asking her about it. Like, how you doing? She says, I just try to ignore it. And in my head, I'm thinking. So I said, hey, are you open to some weird stuff? Because I'm into weird stuff these days. Are you open to weird stuff? She's like, yeah, what the hell? So I call her up and I'm like, okay, just sit down and just breathe. Where do you feel that trauma? And she's like, I can't. Like, I can't get a full breath. It's like there's something right here that's holding me. And I can't breathe. So we just spent a bit of time breathing. It wasn't solved in 5 minutes of breathing. But she says, wow, I feel a little lighter today. I can feel it. It wants to come up, but I feel softer. I feel more open. I said, wow, that's incredible. Good for you. You can even tell in her voice. Her voice sounded different. I get a text 2 days later. She's like, Vince, this stuff is magic. I'm like, what happened? She's like, I was out for coffee. Two separate people approached me, gave me their phone numbers and said, can you please call me? I'd love to get together with you sometime. The trauma and the pain and the suffering of her life. It was like this. You could feel it spilling out of her all the time. And a lot of times we didn't even want to know what to do, but we didn't want to be around her because there's just something so, just didn't feel good. And so she started to do what she needed to do to change this. Within days, complete strangers are saying, I just want to be around you. Because what you're putting into the future of our world feels amazing. Jesus often talks about things in really spiritual, kind of weird ways. But you know what? When you get it down to how it impacts our lives, it's pretty darn profound, isn't it? So let me leave you with this. Are you storing up treasures in heaven? Are you doing your work so that you're not spilling pain and anger and suffering into the world? Or is it all about you? Because we have the chance right now to say, I'm going to do my work. I'm going to do what I need to do for me, because that's amazing. But also for the world all around me. Because the world I want to be in 10 years doesn't look like this. So let me leave you with that. What are you going to do? You can totally ignore me. That's fine. Or I can say, there's something I need to do. There's some work I need to do to create a healthy me so I can change this world into an amazing, beautiful place. We call it heaven on earth. That's what we're all about. That's what this series was all about. How do we live in a society and make it better? Don't just walk out of here today saying, oh, that was good. Ask yourself, what are you pouring into the world and how do you fix it? This is the last week of being a good citizen. We had a great time with this one. I hope you guys did too. Next week we start our Christmas series where we're going to take kind of obscure Christmas passages you've probably never heard about and show you the wisdom that's there. It's going to be a blast. Next week we're going to talk about the loss of hope and what happens when you find it again. You don't want to miss it. Have a great week, everybody. And go Calgary, right?